Luke chapter number 1, we're going to start with verse number 34. I'm going to ask this morning, if you would please, if you'll stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we just read a few verses here out of the first chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, the amazing, miraculous power of God. The amazing, miraculous power of God. Father, I thank you now for this morning. I thank you for those that are here. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd meet with us in a special way, and that you'd guide us and direct us, and that you would flow through me to your people, and they would not hear me speak, but they'd hear you speak to them through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells and lives in them. So, Lord, we ask that you take control of our service. Draw us closer to you from what we learn, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, she was quite surprised. And I don't blame her. If an angel appeared to me in the middle of the day or the middle of the night or at some time, it'd be amazing to me too. I'd probably be afraid. I'd probably say, "I must be having a hallucination." My wife would probably say, "I know a bed that you could be in at some nursing home somewhere in the nut department." If I came home and I told her that I saw a vision like Mary had seen. When Gabriel appeared to her, she was shocked. And Mary was just an ordinary Jewish woman. And I'll say that again, she was just an ordinary Jewish woman. Mary was just an ordinary, everyday, average Jewish woman, just like the ladies that sit in this auditorium today. She was no better and she was no worse. She's the same. And that's the amazing thing about God. We see here an ordinary woman and the power of God comes upon her and a virgin conceives. I said that again. I'll say it one more time. Not a young woman, as some would have us to believe today. A virgin. Now, I don't know what age she was. I don't think age matters. The key words here are a virgin. There's many Bibles today, I should say books today, that say that she calls her a young lady and they take the word virgin out. But no, ladies and gentlemen, this is a miraculous birth. This is an amazing action of the hand of God Himself. Mary, who never knew a man, and she says that right there, "I've never known a man, how could this thing be?" And God says, "It's by my power, and nothing is impossible with God." That's a great statement right there. Nothing is impossible to God. It doesn't matter what you're going through in life, nothing is impossible with God. And we see here that a virgin who's never known a man, a young lady, I'm sure she was very young at the time, conceives, and she's going to bear a child. And God doesn't call His name Jesus. Did you notice what He says here? I want you to notice verse 35, the last three words of the verse. Look there with me if you will. "And born of thee shall be called," the last three words, "Son of God." Jesus wasn't the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. Why? Because God is His Father. This is a miraculous, amazing power of God. What a tremendous honor it was for her to be chosen. And she's puzzled. And I don't blame her. I'd be puzzled too. On how she was being chosen to be as a virgin to bear this child. She was shocked. She was surprised. She was overwhelmed. She couldn't believe it. I would find it a very tremendous thing as well. And then he tells her, "You got a cousin." out there named Elizabeth. And she'd been barren and she's old now. Can you imagine, if you will, Liz saying to her husband, "I'm going to have another baby." At your age right now, Liz, can you imagine that? Can you imagine going to Lowell and saying, "I'm pregnant"? Can you imagine carrying a child at your age, Liz? Yet Elizabeth is doing that very thing. Why? Well, you say, well, it's not possible. I couldn't have this happen. I've come past that part of my life. And I can't have a child. And that's why they called Elizabeth in the Bible barren. She was never ever going to be able to have a child. This is impossible. Yet with God, everything's possible. And here's a woman like our Liz, who's suddenly with child from her husband. And she's going to bear a child in her old age. The amazing, miraculous power of God. Although we cannot fully comprehend this, God does have an amazing, miraculous power to accomplish the unimaginable, to accomplish the impossible, to accomplish the unthought about, to accomplish that which no one thinks can be done. Again, verse 37, "For with God nothing is impossible." Mary believed this. She believed what the angel told her. She believed that statement that with God nothing is impossible. And she responds to that in verse 38. "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Now wait a minute. Mary's not a foolish person here. She's not an idiot. She knows what's going to happen. Suddenly, she's going to be pregnant. And you know all the gossip that's going to go out and about this. She knows all the people in town that are going to be talking about her behind her back. She knows all the things she's going to have to face. She knows all the things she's going to have to answer to, even to Joseph, who is her engaged spouse. She knows she's going to have to face all of this. I can't imagine how her mother and her father would have answered her to find out that she was expecting. And I'm sure they would have gone to her and said, "Okay, you and Joseph need to get married now." And she says, "It's not Joseph's child." "Well, whose child is it?" "God's." "What? What? Say that again." "It's God's." "What? Say that again." "It's God's child." "No way! Mary, there's something wrong with you." I imagine Joseph said to himself, "This is insane. First of all, she's pregnant. Now she won't tell me who the husband is. And now she tells me it's God's. That God did this to her. What, did a Martian come down and land in a big flying saucer? Woo! And say that he was God and impregnate her and go on? What is this? This is craziness. So now he thinks he's got a pregnant wife by some other man and she's crazy." Until the angel comes and talks to her. Talks to him. And says, "Listen, Joseph, relax, buddy. What's happening here is of God. Because he wasn't going to marry her. He was going to leave her. But God intervened." Again, another miraculous, unbelievable work on the part of God to intercede for what's going on here. And Mary says, "Okay, I know all this is going to happen, but listen, Lord, whatever you want, I'm your servant, and you do to me whatever you desire to do." That's an amazing statement. Not many people, I don't think, would be willing to let God do whatever He wanted to us. So many times when we go through things that are hard or go through things that are difficult, we want to flee from God. People get mad at God. People complain about what God's doing. And we often don't get to see the blessing that's going to come if we just wait upon the Lord. The Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. I'm just saying that God has an amazing power. Even though we don't understand some things in life, God has an amazing power. Even though she didn't understand everything, these are key words here, she trusted the Lord. She trusted His messenger. She trusted Him. She let the Lord have control over the whole situation, and she was excited and glad and happy to be used of God. So what can we learn? We learn, number one, God's promises are proven by His power. God's promises are proven by His power. When God promises you something, you know that He's going to come through. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. I can count on that. I know God's going to keep His word. I don't fully understand why He would save a sinner like me. I don't fully understand why He would save other people whom I know have been filled with sin. Yet God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. And when God makes a promise, you can count on God. He is going to keep His promise. He made a promise to Mary. He said, Mary, that which is going to happen to you is going to be through me. And you're going to have a child. And He's going to be the Son of God. You can bet on it. You can bank on it. Don't worry about it. It's all by my power. God has a great power today. Sometimes I think in our generation we forget about it. Yet this is the same God that created the world in 7 days. Or actually 6 days, and on the seventh day rested. This is the same God that actually parted the Red Sea. This is the same God who mightily flooded the earth and had Noah and a total of 8 people and all the animals in the ark and saved them alive from the rest of the destruction that happened to the earth through that great flood. This is the same God who sent fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice of Elijah, to lick up all the water around it, and not to harm anything else. This is the same God that calmed the storm when the disciples were on the sea and they were afraid, and He calmed the storm. This is the same God that rose again from the dead. Same God. He keeps His promise. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's a promise. That's a promise. God said, call on me, pray. Pray. Jeremiah 33:3 ought to be a promise that each one of us have tattooed in our heart. Not on our arm, but in our heart. So that we remember it over and over and over again. Call upon me and I will answer thee. I might answer thee. Not I could answer thee. Not that it may, I might come around to one. Call unto me and I will. I'll answer thee. I shall answer thee. I will answer thee. You can count it and I'm going to answer thee. You can bank on it. I'm going to answer. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things. Show you what? A few things? No. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This is God doing something great and mighty. All too often, we decide to take control. All too often, we decide that we want to have things happen our way. So we manipulate life to the place where we think it ought to be. Remember years ago, my wife and I were pastoring my first church. Very tiny little building. I made $25 a week. I was overpaid and understaffed at my first church. And I remember our car broke down. We had a little Ford Pinto. And so I went down, I found out I blew a head gasket. So I pulled the engine. Back then you could work on cars. You could actually work on a car without having to go to a garage. And it was called Shade Tree Mechanics. And I went down the road to another guy. We were way out in the country. Our church was on the edge of a 1,000-acre preserve up in Michigan. And I went up with another guy down the road whom we'd known. And together we pulled the engine. And I fixed the engine. I put it back in the car, and then after having been in the car for a few weeks, something else broke down, and I had to pull the engine, and I had to fix a main seal that had gone out in the bottom side of the engine, so again we had to pull that engine. I put that back together, and then something else blew out on that engine, and then we started to have all sorts of trouble. In one day, we decided to drive down from the we're in the woods, from the woods down to the city of Grand Rapids. And we drove down to Grand Rapids, Michigan to Bell Chevrolet. We pulled into Bell Chevrolet, and as we did, the car went... stopped. Tried to start it. And right there in the parking lot, nothing. Nothing. I think we had two children at that time. One was an infant that had been born in August, and this was the middle of winter. And our baby Melissa, who was just a little over a year old. My wife's nodding her head. That means I've actually had that story correct. And so we go into Bell Chevrolet, and I'm praying, "Dear Lord, please help this work. Please help this work. I don't have any money. I'm getting paid $25 a week from a church. I'm working a little security guard job on the side for Gerber's baby food. We don't have any way of getting things done." And we're sitting in this meeting trying to figure out where we're going to get the money to make a car payment. I think the car payment was like $96 a month, unlike most car payments that are like $400 or $500 a month now. But for $96 a month, well, I made $100 a month, $25 a week. But we had to buy food and groceries and laundry soap and, oh my goodness, how were we going to make it? And I remember manipulating the situation until finally they gave us the loan. And that day, I kept praying, "God help us," but I know I was manipulating at the same time. You ever do that? Is anybody guilty of that besides me? You're praying, "Dear God, help me, dear God, help me," and you're trying to figure out how to do it. So you keep making things, do this and you do that and you do that, and you know that you're trying to make it work, and you know you're the one that's pushing it through. And we drive out of there in a nice new used car. We had it for a year and a half, and I couldn't keep up the payments on it. I couldn't do it. God had not done it. I had done it. I had manipulated it. I kept blaming God for it. "God, how come you're not paying for the car you gave me?" But I knew I'd manipulated my own way. That's so often how we treat God. Instead of letting God do what He wanted to do, I kept saying to myself, "I can't get in the car and go home. We don't have no car that's running." I don't remember what they ended up to give us for our car, but it was a couple thousand dollars. They had this old saying, "Ring that bell at Bell Chevrolet." And so as you'd go out and they'd sell you a car, they'd ring this bell real loud. And woohoo, we rang the bell. We worked it out. I promised this. I think I promised both of my kids. It was just, we did everything we could do. Finally, we drove out with this car. And that's how most of us are. We make life work the way we think it should work instead of letting God do the impossible. It ended up to cost us financially because I didn't let God do it. I did it myself. I wonder what would have happened that day if I just would have backed off and said, "Okay, God, you do it." A few years later, I was pastoring another church, and my wife was expecting, and we had a little girl named Jennifer, and she was born premature. And she was born with hyaline membrane disease, and we rushed her right from the birth room to emergency care because she could not breathe, and they put tubes in her and everything else, and then they rushed her into an ambulance to another hospital about 40 miles away, Children's Hospital down in Dayton, Ohio, because we were pastoring in Greenville, Ohio at that time. And I told God, I remember telling God, I didn't want to have another child because I didn't have the money to pay for it. And then my daughter's born, and now she's really sick, and they take her to the hospital. She's in intensive care for 30 days in a child ward, in a child intensive care unit, ICU. The bill was unbelievably high. I remember a few days before we took her home, well, the day before we took her home, a nurse came to me and said, "They want to see you down in the financial office." I said, "Oh, I knew it was coming." Because I kept saying, "I don't have any insurance. I don't have any ways to pay for this." And they kept saying, "Don't worry about that right now." Well, suddenly it was time to worry about that. I got in the elevator, and the doors closed. I was all alone in the elevator. I said, "Dear God, I don't have any money." I remember praying, saying, "Lord, I don't have the money for a child." And I remember you saying in my prayer, "Don't worry about it, I'll take care of it." I said, "Okay, time to pay the bill." Doors open. I walk down in the office. I tell them who I am. They said, "Oh, yes, have a seat right over there. Somebody will be with you in just a second. We've been waiting for you." And I went, "Oh, my goodness." I sat down, this very kind and sweet lady sat down, and she says, "Mr. Marco," I said, "Ma'am, I don't have any money." She said, "Do you know this bill is thousands and hundreds, 20 some thousand dollars for the last few days? And back, $75,000? $50,000 for the last month that your daughter..." And back in the 1980s, that was a lot more money than what it is today. And she said, "How do you plan to pay?" I said, "I told you I didn't have no money." She said, I knew that." And she pulls out this big thing of envelopes. They're all self-addressed and stamped envelopes. She said, "We've talked down here, and Reverend here, we want to give you these envelopes. Whenever you get a little something, just put a little money in the envelope, send it to us." I said, "Okay." And so, we brought our daughter home. Over the next 6 months, I think I paid, $150 maybe? Sent a little bit here, a little bit there. One day the phone rings. I said, "Hello?" And they said, "Mr. Marco?" I said, "Yes, it is." They said, "This is the financial office at the hospital." It had just been almost exactly 6 months since she'd been home, and I thought, "Oh man, here they are. They're calling. They're going to demand the money. Here they go." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "So, Mr. Marco, we've been looking at your account, and where do you want us to send the money?" I said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm trying to send as much money as I can, as often as I can. I think I've sent about $150, or I think it was actually $147. And she said, "No, sir, you didn't understand me." I said, "Well, I'm trying to send you money." She said, "No, sir, you're not listening to me. Where do you want us to send the balance of the money?" I said, "What are you talking about? Balance of what money?" She said, "Ever since your daughter left the hospital, every day money's come to the hospital in your daughter's name to pay for your bill." I said, "What?" She said, "There's $147 left on the account." I said, "Whoa, you got my account mixed up with somebody else's account." I said, "I haven't been sending any money. I send $147. She said, "Well, that's how much money's left. What do you want us to do with it?" I said, "No, need to go back and check your records. That's somebody else's bill's not being paid." She said, "No, sir, we know. It's been on your bill. And today a check for $25,000 came in from this place, and it paid off the balance of your account. Left $147 surplus. What do you want us to do with the money?" I said, "Find someone who's behind on their account and put it on their bill." I said, "God paid it." I got off the phone. I couldn't believe what the conversation that just took place. I almost burst into tears as I explained to my wife what God did. I said to the lady before I got off the phone, I said, "Where did that check come from?" She said, "It's a cashier's check from a bank in Colorado." I said, "What? I don't know anybody in Colorado. Let alone somebody that's going to send $25,000. I said, "Send me a copy of that check." And they did send me a copy of the check. It was a cashier's check, and it told me nothing about who sent the money. Ladies and gentlemen, God can do the impossible when we let Him. But we got to let Him. There was no way for us to take care of it. I knew that from the very beginning. And I trusted God. I didn't know what else to do. And ladies and gentlemen, in 6 months, God took care of the problem. God's promises are proven by His power. When we allow God to be empowered and we let God do the things He's supposed to do, He can take care of everything. Number two, The same God demonstrates His promises to, demonstrates His promises today with His power today. The power of God didn't go away when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. The power of God is still here today. It's the same power that let Peter out of jail when he was taken and put in prison for the preaching of the gospel. And then the angel woke him up in the middle of the night and said, "Come on, let's go." And he passed through all the guards and he went and knocked on the door. And a young lady comes to the door named, I forgot her name now. And he knocks on the door and she says, "Who's there?" And she says, "It's Peter." And she doesn't let him in. Rhoda is her name. And she runs back inside and says, "Peter's ghost is at the door." They said, "Did you let him in?" They go to the door, they open the door, and there's Peter standing there. And they said, "How'd you get out of prison?" God did it. The same power that delivered Peter out of prison is the same power that's available to you and I today, because God keeps His promises. Amen. That's good stuff right there. What God did in the past, He'll do today, because my God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same power of God that He illustrated back then is the same power of God that He has today if we'll let God just be in charge. Amen. Number three. We simply need to trust Him and let Him show us His power. We need to simply trust Him and let Him show us His power. I read this story one day and I thought it was really something. And so I wanted to share it with you today. A little boy named Joy came home from Sunday school one day. His mother asked him, "What did you learn today?" He said, "The teacher taught me how Moses snuck behind enemy lines, on a rescue mission, to get the Israelites from Egypt. And when he got to the Red Sea, his engineers built a pontoon bridge so everyone could cross. And they called for reinforcements with his walkie-talkie. And they sent bombers to blow up the bridge after the Israelites were on the other side and all the Israelites were saved." And his mom said, "Now, Joey, that's not what the teacher said." "Well, no, Mom," he said. "But if I told you what the teacher really said, you'd never believe it." And that's how we are with God, isn't it? We come up with, it really couldn't have happened that way. How many times have you heard people say that God really didn't dry up the Red Sea as they crossed over it? It was really the Reed Sea, and it was further up, and they crossed on a marshy area. No, ladies and gentlemen, it was the middle of the Red Sea, and they crossed over on dry ground because God held off the waters on each side, and the Israelites went through. And when the Egyptians were there, God pulled up His hands, and the water came in and killed all the Egyptians that were after the Israelites. God's power is real. And we don't need to make up some story or try to explain what God really did. We just need to let God be God and us be His children and let Him do what He wants to do once we give Him that authority. That's what Mary does here. Mary says in verse 38, and behold, I'm sorry, in verse 39, and Mary says, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Ladies and gentlemen, we just need to trust God in His Word. He will do what He says He'll do. There are many areas in our life which we are failing to trust God in His ways. We just need to let God demonstrate His power by doing what He wants to in our lives. That's what Mary did. He has the power to fulfill His promises in our life just as much as He had the power to fulfill the promises in Mary's life. Just as much as He had the promises to fulfill the promises that He would send His Son. And that His Son came. And He lived here for 33 years. Had a public ministry for 3 years. Then died on the cross in payment for our sin, was buried and rose again from the dead. And now has ascended up to heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, and He is coming again. Can I tell you what's wrong with America that would change America on this December 7th, 2014? We need to just trust in God. As we celebrate the Pearl Harbor, we'd love to see America come back together in union, and it could if we would just get back to trusting God. Believing God. Depending on God. There's nothing that America can do better than if America could go back to church. Go back to the Bible. Go back to believing this old-fashioned book. Go back to saying, my God is my God, and I will stand with my God regardless of what others may say. In this 2014 Christmas season, I'm saying Merry Christmas to everybody, not Happy Holidays. Because it's Merry Christmas. I'm not going to let a couple atheists get out there and stop me from enjoying this holiday in which we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let anybody steal it away. I don't care how many people get mad. I don't care how many people get furious. It's my God. And if people get mad and people get furious and they're going to do something about it, I'm going to trust my God to take care of me no matter what it means. Just like Mary, I want to trust God. How about you this morning? Just like Mary, would you be willing to trust God? Would you let Him trust? Would you trust Him, I'm sorry. Would you trust Him with every aspect of your life? Where you work, where you live, what you do, what kind of money you make, how your boss treats you at work, how your neighbors treat you. Would you just trust God to take care of everything instead of trying to let us do it on our own? I can't imagine the people that demanded answers from Mary. How did this happen? I'm just trusting the Lord. He did it. Mary, you're nuts! Yeah, but I'm trusting God. He did it. Ain't nobody ever going to believe your story, Mary. A virgin conceiving of God and bearing a child and calling His name Jesus because He's the Son of God. I'm sorry, that's what happened. I'm just going to trust Him. Depend on Him. He'll take care of me. Now, I don't know any of the names of those people that said that, but I know who Mary is, don't you? Why? Because Mary kept depending on God. Took care of Joseph. Took care of their living situation. Took care of all the rumors. Took care of all the innuendos. Trusted God. Give your worries and your problems to Him. Trust Him and His miraculous power. And then God's amazing, miraculous power will amaze you of what He'll do on your behalf. Father, thank You for what we've learned this morning. Thank You for this simple truth. I ask, Holy Spirit, that You'd make it real.